The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
You make of this deal, Derrick Rose going to the Knicks?
Not much. I mean, you know, to be quite honest with you, it's not that big of a news to me. Derrick Rose is not what he used to be. Do I believe that Derrick Rose can still play? Sure. Do I believe that he can make a contribution and he's an upgrade from what the Knicks had on their roster? Absolutely. But Derrick Rose, the league MVP from years ago, that's not the same Derrick Rose.
Well, the Knicks are wheeling and dealing. And can we officially put U.S. soccer back in its hole until the World Cup? Let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee the Master, if you want to get in today. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Wednesday where we do things just a little bit differently. We put odds on everything. Technically percentages, we know that for those of you who are, you know, new to this. But sounds better to say, what are the odds Wednesday? So when you call or text or tweet or send a Raven, put odds on it. What are the odds? Derrick Rose to the Knicks? Bigger deal than Stephen A. was saying there or not?
I mean, I don't think it is. You know what I feel about Derrick Rose at this point.
Like him when he was good.
I didn't like him when he was good. I don't think that – maybe didn't like him isn't the best way to look at it. I'll say I didn't agree that he was as great as everyone seemed to think he was. But since then, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And, if he can't stay healthy, you don't matter. And he can't stay healthy.
I'm a little surprised simply because I didn't think the Knicks had enough to go out and get him with. And – it's not like they gave up much. He is an upgrade, but he's one of those guys that I think at this stage, it's total diminishing returns. I don't think he's going to be any better than he's been. So,
but what'd you give up for him? Not much. I mean, and that's kind of the Knicks take on it is, oh, maybe he's not that great anymore, but we didn't give up anything to get him. The only thing is, that's a good chunk of salary cap that he takes up.
Yeah, although
they've got plenty more to spare.
Let's be fair, especially with it going up as much as it is. They've got room to go out and make another stupid move if they want to. And, I think, obviously, at least it gives them a name. In the East, it doesn't take much. If you get a 80% Derrick Rose, you might even be a playoff team. I don't know, depending on what else they put around them. But not like they give up anything. And, it'll be interesting with the salary cap being nuts. What else will be able to do?
Well, I don't have too high hopes for the Knicks. They didn't lose much, but in my opinion, they didn't add much either.
Yeah.
And they may be weaker overall at point guard right now. They traded both their starting and their number two point guards to get this deal done. And now you've got a guy who can't stay on the floor. So if he gets hurt, you're in a bad spot.
Well, and that's the flip side. This guy doesn't exactly work his ass off to get back on the court when he's hurt. So we'll see how it plays out, but that's your big news of the day. And if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. Josh asks, saw Vegas got its hockey team odds they can compete for a Stanley Cup in 10 years. I think 10 years is about the right number. Although the rules are going to let them be more competitive than usual early, but I still think it's going to take a while to build because, it takes about 5 years of drafting well and things like that just to have a good team. So I'm excited about that, though, for our trips to Vegas.
Yeah.
It starts in 2017. Yeah, it will be fun to watch. And I got bunch of tweets from people. It's like, well, how can Vegas get a team and Houston not get a team? Well, there's a lot of reasons for it, including a guy willing to put up $500 million. And, oh, by the way, that arena makes Toyota Center look like Hoffman's Pavilion.
Yeah.
And it's also a chance to break new ground. I think it's going to be pretty cool. We're going to have Glenn Davis on at 4:30, but can we go ahead and just dust in the wind for the United States and soccer?
Well, I was just saying, not for the whole United States.
No, for United States soccer. We don't have to pay any attention to them now until the World Cup, right?
I think that's fair.
Yeah, because
it's safe to say no one's going to care for a while.
And I'm not going to dog them too much because that was so embarrassing to watch last night. I honestly don't think there was a single player on the U.S. team who could have played for Argentina. Not a single one. And, yeah, it was bad. It was like, and I ran out of analogies. I finally quit after it looked like Drago versus Creed. But it really did look, it reminded me of when my kid was little and he played on a soccer team. And he was on the team where all the kids were kind of looking at flowers and, you know, playing with the grass. And every team they played had two little Hispanic kids who scored 6 goals each and ran around everybody. That's what it looked like. It was pretty much that. And yeah, so I don't want to hear how relevant they are, how far they've come. Yeah, it's a number one team in the world. They were supposed to lose, but that was about the equivalent of what the Chiefs did to the Texans.
It couldn't have been much worse. Yeah. I mean, I said yesterday, if they get done like Mexico did by Chile.
Yeah, that would be bad.
That'd be bad. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't quite that, but it might as well have been. I mean, 7-0, 4-0.
Yeah, it was. At least it wasn't as bad as 7-0.
But 3 minutes in, really?
Yeah.
You kind of, I mean, that's, you know, at that point,
and,
right?
And, yeah, I'm not going to pretend to be a soccer guy. I don't know why the keeper's not challenging that ball. He's just kind of standing there looking at it.
I don't know what he's supposed to do there.
I
know he's not supposed to let him score 3 minutes into the game.
Yeah, just, ooh, look. Oh, that went over my head. Oh, darn. There was nothing he could do about that messy goal, though. LeBron couldn't have blocked that one. That was just perfect. But, yeah, it was fun seeing people get to be excited for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And what did they even get? I quit watching when it was 3-0. Did they even get a shot on goal at any point?
I don't know.
They didn't have one at that point. John, you should know that.
Did you watch the whole thing, John?
No. By the time I got, you know, I picked up dinner, went back to Teresa's place. By the time I got back, it was 2-0. And by that point, I was like, 2-0, 33rd minute. I'm not watching this.
No. What's the point at that point in the game? There's not much sense in riding it out. You pretty much knew what was going to happen.
Yeah. After it was 1-0, it was over. But
that was one damn impressive free kick by Messi.
Yeah, that was badass. I have to say. I mean, yeah.
And by the way, while I'm talking about this, I don't want to pretend like I watched the game. I didn't. I saw the highlights. I didn't watch the game, lest anyone can be confused with how I know anything about it. I really don't. I just saw the highlights and, you know, pieced it together. But it looks like the U.S. didn't do great.
I did watch it, and it was every time they got the ball, they couldn't keep it. You know, there would be 3 Argentinian guys swarming them. And everybody tells me no shots on goal by the USA.
In the whole game?
No shots on goal the entire game. They only had a couple times where they even got close. So, it was embarrassing. It really was. And not because, and it's easy to say, well, you know, at least they got that far. But the difference between them and the best team in the world is so ridiculous right now. It would have been like watching a U.S. football team, American football team, playing an American football team from Argentina. It would have been that bad. It'd have been Tom Brady out there throwing the ball all over the place.
Well, couldn't have gone much worse, Fred. I'm glad we spent so much time talking about it yesterday.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Glenn Davis at 4:30. I'll see what this means in the grand scheme. Maybe it doesn't matter that much.
I don't think it matters. I think if they had won, maybe people would have paid attention for the finals.
Yeah.
And it's like the Olympics. They're going to go back in a hole, and we'll be back talking about them for the World Cup and how far they've come. And maybe this is a year they do something in the World Cup. That's 2018.
Yeah.
So until then, we'll do Glenn Davis at 4:30, and then after that.
Where's the World Cup in 2018?
Is that the one that's in
Brazil?
Qatar? No.
Oh, yeah. I think it's Qatar.
Yeah, that where it's going to be 400 degrees.
Yeah, good luck.
And then Russia in 2022.
You think spoiled-ass Americans are going to win in that environment? No way.
No. No.
It's going to be those people that grew up playing soccer with a rock and no shoes.
Yeah. I don't know who's going to be able to play in that environment.
It would have to be a team from an area where it's really, really hot.
Yeah.
Brazil, maybe?
Maybe. I'm trying to think of where else it even gets. I mean, it's one of the hottest places in the world.
Yeah. No, it doesn't get any hotter than there anywhere that these guys play, and we know the teams from the Middle East can't play. So.
Yeah. I mean, maybe an African team.
Maybe. I don't know, man. I'll go with Spain. Spain's kind of like Dorn. It's hot there.
Didn't Spain lose to Croatia yesterday?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. They suck, too. Everybody sucks.
Okay, 2018.
Except Argentina.
I stand corrected. 2018 is Russia. 2022 is Qatar.
Oh, I wouldn't want to go to Russia either.
Yeah, that's not going to be any fun. They're going to have all those fans wanting to kill you.
Yeah, I'll pass.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. But apparently the U.S. is going to bid for 2026.
They won't get it.
They'll give it to some other country. They'll do some other corrupt thing.
Yeah.
It'll be North
Korea.
U.S.
thing. I mean, the U.S. probably should get it more often than other countries do, but I guess it's not really fair if we get it all the time. We probably should because we have the infrastructure for it, but I guess it's not really fair to some of these other crappy countries.
Vincent says, no, you guys don't follow the women's soccer national team, but they're likely going to win the Olympics in August, and I will care even less about that than I cared about last night's game. It's women's sports, and it's soccer. All right, quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Artec, your small and medium business solution. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. What Are the Odds Wednesday? 713-780-ESPN's your number. The good news was, at least I was able to flip over and watch Carlos Correa come for the game winner last night. There was that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Got back to 500. They're leading 3-2 right now in the eighth inning. So that trustworthy bullpen.
They'll blow it. And then
win it next innings. Yeah. Somebody just said this. Just, I don't know. It's quite breaking news, but HBO has canceled Vinyl After All.
Oh, good call.
They had ordered a second series after the first episode, which, okay, after the first episode, I might have said, okay, yeah. But apparently they, after the season went, the reviews were terrible. The
show
ratings
really
were terrible.
Wasn't good.
It was bad. It was. There's no way around it. It was just a bad show. And
Olivia Wilde was good.
Yeah, yeah. Especially the scene,
the nude scene with the Merkin.
Yeah.
Super, super gigantic bush.
That was good. That's about it. I have nothing else positive to say about it. Let's grab a couple phone calls. Al, you're on The Blitz. Go.
Hey, gentlemen, sports.
Sports to you, sir.
Hey, guys, couple quick what are the odds for you. One, what are the odds that Jurgen Klinsmann is fired within 3 months? And two, what are the odds that we develop a homegrown talent in the U.S. on the level of a Ronaldo or a Messi?
I'll answer the second one first, 0.0%. And to the first one, you guys always want to fire Klinsmann after every loss. They weren't going to beat Argentina last night. Would it have been nice if they'd been more competitive? Yeah. He's going to be here through the 2018 World Cup. That's kind of what they...
And if he gets his doors blown off, then they'll probably have to fire the guy.
And you know, it doesn't matter who's coaching that team, managing that team, excuse me.
They just don't have as good of players.
They're not as good. You don't have those kind of players. If you watch that last night, I'll ask Glenn this question. Was there one player on the U.S. team that could have played for Argentina last night? A single one? Because I damn sure didn't see it. I saw every single one of them overwhelmed by whoever it was that was checking them. You didn't watch, so you don't.
I didn't. Yeah, I could make something up, but I don't know.
Yeah, let's try Tony. What's up, Tony?
Sports, gentlemen.
Sports to you.
I got a what are the odds? What are the odds that Scarlett Johansson switches careers to play professional women's soccer, and you actually sit down and watch a whole game?
0%.
Yeah.
0%.
I can watch her be hot in the movies. Yeah. Why do I want to watch her be hot in...
You know who gave me a good hypothetical today, or a good, would you rather today? Raheel asked, would you rather watch an entire WNBA game start to finish or sit down in a locked room with Barry Warner for an hour? Not do a show with him, but like just talk to him for an hour.
I'll take Barry. I can tune things out pretty well.
It's a tough. I mean, it's just the two of you in a room. There's
Yeah, I know.
That's tough.
You know how it is. You're married. You can ignore how your wife is sometimes. That's just what I would do. I just kind of look at the, you know, you look at your phone. You do things like that.
No, you don't get to look at your phone. You got to sit in a room and talk to him.
You can sit in a room and talk. You don't sit there and look at the phone when you're talking to people.
That's not the way the game works.
Well, now you're putting all kinds of conditions on it. What the hell?
No, you're just locked in a room in a conversation. You're having a
when was the last time you were locked in a room without your phone? You said locked in a room with the guy. You didn't say anything about, well, you have to drop everything and have a one-on-one conversation.
No, that was
times.
The whole point, was you had to have a conversation
you
with him for
have
an
a
hour.
Conversation and ignore him at the same time. That's easy.
Well, you can't do other things. You've got to be engaged in the conversation.
No, you can't. You do the same thing you do when your wife is talking about stuff you don't want to hear. Just like, uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, sounds good, right? Let's try Sean. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you, sir.
Hey, so what are the odds that Lionel Messi or any other Argentine player bastardized the U.S. prodigy while in Houston?
Did what?
What are the odds any Argentine player while in Houston actually bastardized the U.S. prodigy, the designer baby that's going to, you know, bring U.S. soccer?
Would only work if he hooked up with like a U.S. female soccer player. So maybe like Carly Lloyd or someone like that.
She that could have happened. Here, huh? Yeah, she lives here, doesn't she?
But it would have to be Messi. He's the only one I want.
Yeah.
If we're gonna make a super baby, it's got to be like two great players.
Yeah, we should have kidnapped him while he was here. That'd have been the way to do it.
And forced him to breed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know how it is, though. While in theory this sounds like a great deal, and, you know, yes, if this were horse racing, it would work. The reality is, how many great, great players have kids that are that great? Mm. I mean, yeah, like Griffey. If we get a Griffey. Okay, that's what we're aiming for, a Griffey.
Yeah. Or a Steph Curry.
Yeah. Yeah, he wound up being better than Dad.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I give you some positive American news?
I'll take it.
Okay. The NHL awards are tonight, and the big one for MVP, there's three players up for it. One of them is Patrick Kane, who would be the first American to ever win it, which is kind of surprising to me that in all the history of hockey, the best player in hockey has never been an American. He also became the first one to lead the league in points this year. And it's kind of interesting because the three guys that are up for this award are Patrick Kane, Sidney Crosby, and Jamie Benn. And there's a lot of people who want Crosby to win it, which I think would be a joke. He was really good over the last part of the season, but Kane was much better all year long. He had 106 points, only player in the league to score 100 points.
Is Jamie Benn Canadian?
Jamie Benn also Canadian.
Damn it.
17 points more than Jamie Benn, 21 more than Crosby. And those are your other two finalists. But here's what's I'm going to throw out there. And I know people don't pay that much attention, but Patrick Kane may be the greatest American hockey player ever. And he's only 27 years old. He's got three Stanley Cups. He's got a Conn Smythe as the most valuable player in the Stanley Cup. He's won an Olympic silver medal. He's going to get the Art Ross Trophy as a scoring champion. He's probably getting the Hart, which is the MVP award. And no American's ever done any of that. And dude's only 27 years old. And people forget, last year he got hurt at the end of the season. He would have led the league in points last year. This would be 2 years in a row. So, greatest American player in his sport ever at 27 years old. So that's something to be proud of, right?
That's pretty crazy.
It is kind of crazy. And, you know, there's been some other really good players that are American.
We suck at that game.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've had some good ones. Like Mike Modano was really good. Won a cup with the Stars.
What about like Jeremy Roenick? Isn't he?
Jeremy Roenick, but he never came close to doing any of that.
What about the defenseman that was a Red Wings defenseman for a long time?
Chris Chelios.
Yeah. What about him?
He played till he was like 45. He's, again, though, no contender for these awards.
Well, but I mean, are defensemen ever?
Well, they have the Norris Trophy, which is, you know, the best defenseman. But can the best defenseman can't do what these guys are doing?
Yeah. Yeah, we suck at that game.
We do. But for once, we have the best player.
What about Brett Hull?
Brett Hull was Canadian first, and then he played for Team America late in his career. Oh. So he doesn't really count.
So he's born in Canada?
Yeah. Oh. I don't remember if he was born in Canada or the U.S., but he's got like one of each parents.
Okay.
So.
Is Bobby Hull Canadian?
Yes, he was Canadian.
Okay. Yeah. So. If you got a Canadian dad, you're not even American anyway.
So there's that. You have one thing to be proud of. Congratulations. And your Astros just beat the Angels to go one game over 500.
Wow! They haven't been a game over 500. This is the first time over 500 this season, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, now we, I guess they've officially turned the season around.
It's the second time. They were 1-0.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. And there's already people. The Astros are over 500. Can you talk about it on the show?
Yeah, we just did.
I love how that's like the watermark. Like, all of a sudden, there's excitement because they've won more times than they've lost.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Just crown their ass, then. I'm not going to crown them.
Hey, they're playing better baseball. They're playing closer to what we thought they would be. But I would still point out that even with this little run,
the hole they dug was pretty deep.
9.5 games out of first place.
Yeah.
Which is, if you remember,
against a team that
is 9-1 against
them. Has
been
consistently penetrating them.
If you go back to where they were when they were sucking, you know how far out they were first? 9 games. They haven't gained anything on the Rangers. And that's all because they can't beat them heads up. So, you know, basically 8-2 in their last 10 games. Guess who else is 8-2 in their last 10 games? The Rangers.
Yeah.
And
but, I mean, they're only 2 games out of a wild card spot.
They are that, but...
But there's a lot of teams in front of them. There's 5 teams in front of them.
Yeah, and I don't see the Orioles, Red Sox, or Jays slowing down. The Indians might slow down, but, boy, they got a good pitching staff, and the Royals are still right in that mix. A wild card is going to be difficult. Not impossible, but I think it's going to be difficult.
What's unbelievable to me is the Mariners, their run differential is plus 51.
Yeah.
And they're a game above 500.
Yeah, it's very strange.
I mean, that's there's got to be some kind of bad luck or something going on. And, of course, they've been without Felix Hernandez for a while, which is...
Right, but that's usually an indication you're going to reel off a bunch of wins. Because if you recall last year, the Jays were like that early in the season. They were like plus some ridiculous number, and they were under 500.
Yeah.
And sooner or later, that starts coming around. They got a little bit better pitching. They quit getting blown out, and all of a sudden, they're in the playoffs. I could see the same thing with Seattle. It's just a matter of, you know, they have some games get completely out of control, and, you know, and they beat the tar out of people. But when you become more consistent, you start winning more of those games.
The Astros, on the other hand, minus 1 in run differential, which early in the season, that thing was ugly. So good on them for getting it back to a respectable spot.
713-780-ESPN. It is What Are the Odds Wednesday. We'll talk to Glenn Davis next, and then we'll get back to your phone calls after that.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions again. If you want to beautify your backyard, they can do custom outdoor kitchens, outdoor water, fire features. They're also doing the carved stone overlay, which I've been telling you guys about. It gives you that superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less than what it would cost you to tear everything out and start all over. It's trial, hand-carved, and custom-colored for your home, so it looks amazing. It's slip resistant, twice as strong as concrete, and they stand behind Carvestone with a 7-year warranty. They can help you with residential and commercial projects, and they can help you figure out how to save some money as well. Several monthly payment options. They even offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. With all this, It's no wonder so many people have great things to say about Allied. They're 2015's Angie's List Super Service Award winner. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Get a carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions. Stop by the showroom today, I-10 in the Beltway. See what they can do. Or you can check out the Carved Stone Project's photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. Or call for a risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400. That's 713-465-0400.
They never got a key. 1, 2, 3, they're going to run back to me. They always want to come, but they never want to leave.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Plays. Off the short corner. Tackled away, but Argentina will pick it up. There's the chip inside. A header. Goal. Walls back 10 yards awaiting the strike from Messi. Messi with a record-breaking goal! 2-0 Argentina, number 55. Messi moving it ahead of the left. Argentina getting numbers forward in blue. It's played in. Higuain save. Rebound! Argentina scores. Higuain beating Guzano. Rebound. Here's Messi on that steal. Boy, cut it back, and there's another goal from Higuain. The unselfish Messi has another assist.
Told the guys there's nothing to be ashamed of after the game. You know, we got to move forward. We learn with these games. We're very grateful to this Copa America that we are part of it. And we made it into the Final Four. And there will be always a step backwards, and then there will go two more forward. You know, this is a part of our process.
And we're back on the Blitz. And that was Jürgen Klinsmann, who for some reason wasn't embarrassed by that. But we'll find out from somebody who knows, host of Soccer Matters, Glenn Davis joins us.
Glenn was embarrassed.
Glenn was embarrassed, I'm sure. What's up, Glenn?
Hey, Fred, AJ, how are you guys?
Well, we're doing all right. We're better than the U.S. men's national team right now.
Yeah, last night was a rough night. It was a rough night because I think there was a, you know, this was one of those really rare opportunities. You're playing what's arguably the number one team in the world. It's an opportunity to recognize that you're going to get a lot of judgment off one game, a lot of snap sort of judgment off this. And at the end of the day, the U.S. really was dominated in every single facet of the game against one of the world's great teams, without question. The only thing I don't like today is that people are becoming experts simply because they watched one game and have done absolutely no homework. So they don't know what they've done in the tournament. They have made some history getting to where they are. But at the end of the day, disappointing night. My thought was the United States, if you're going to go out in this game, go out brave. But to be missing the three guys they're missing in the context of their team and the way they play and against the opponent they were playing, was always going to be a big ask. I predicted 3-0 Argentina.
But what about this not even having a shot on goal? I mean, I feel like in a soccer match, I don't know much about soccer, Glenn, but it almost seems like by accident somebody will kick the ball towards the goal at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that might be a little bit fluky, but I also think it's how dominating the game was. And if you guys watch this game, and I think you guys know sports well, there are some very big similarities to other sports like basketball and hockey, which people don't think soccer is relevant to that. If you saw, Argentina was as good with the ball, but they were just as good without it. And what I meant is when they lost the ball, in a span of 1 to 5 seconds, they would get it back. And guess where they'd get it back? They'd get it back in the U.S. half of the field, which with the skill of those guys, they could be one pass away from putting somebody in. So it was remarkable with the ball, but it was also remarkable without it. And just reminds us the differences between CONCACAF and the best teams in South America who are in the South American Confederation.
Glenn, I don't want to take away from the fact that they did get to the semifinals, and you said this before the tournament that would be a good result for them. So you know, and they do have some good wins. But, man, it also when you see them out there against a team like that, and the question I would ask you, was there a single player for the U.S. last night that could have even played for Argentina? I mean, it was complete domination. There's no other way around it. I mean, was there one guy on the U.S. team that you say, you could put him on Argentina and he would fit? Because it sure didn't look to me like there was a single player.
Well, let me just say this. Any player that would be put on Argentina would look a lot better. That's all I would say. But on the U.S., was there anybody that really showed well? I think Jazzy Zardes had a moment or two, because athletically, I thought this was a night where the U.S. in some ways was athletically struggled with this team. And I think those three guys that were not in the lineup were three of the better U.S. athletes. And that's sort of the way you can bridge the gap of these ultra-talented players who have these skill sets that are just, you know, ungodly, is through tactics and effort and spirit and things like that. And the U.S. didn't have those things. So to back to your original question, no, not last night, not at all, no.
Glenn Davis, our guest, host of Soccer Matters. So there's still a third-place game. Is that I don't know enough about this tournament. How meaningful is a third-place game, and what would that result mean?
You know what, Fred? That's a great question, and I think it becomes very meaningful, and I'll tell you why. Because the U.S. did get out of a group nobody thought they'd get out of, they got to the semifinals, they absolutely got undressed by Argentina in front of what I would call a pro-U.S. crowd. One of the stories was the crowd and the mix of Argentina fans and the U.S. fans who were absolutely spectacular out there. But this game does become hugely meaningful, because you don't want to exit this tournament by not producing a good game. You have an opportunity to bounce back, and you're going to have an opportunity to bounce back against another great soccer program in either Colombia or Chile. So actually, I think this game is a very huge statement game for not only Klinsmann, but also for these players. They'll get some people back, and you have a good performance against one of those teams, you'll exit the tournament on a higher note, and I think that's important. The other thing is 190,000 people for three games. If the World Cup comes back to the U.S., it'll be in Houston.
Yeah, that's one thing I wanted to ask you about, because it sure seemed like both with Mexico and in this game, man, the city was buzzing. I was around downtown last night, and everybody was watching the game, at least for 3 minutes before they all went home. But people were excited about this, and I think it was cool to see people in town for an event like this.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is a part of the future of the Houston sports landscape, and that is, there's going to be all kinds of great international soccer content coming here. It's going to provide the Houston Dynamo opportunity to figure out how to tap into all this. It's going to bring all kinds of revenue and dollars to our city. I don't think that's lost on anybody. This is a tournament now they're considering having here all the time, which I think would be, I'm not sure I would like that because of the history of the tournament, but in the name of money, I understand where it all comes from. So I think that was a great story, and I think the great story is that we as Americans do love the sport of soccer. I think if we're smart, we do realize we were all probably overhyped for it, but that's what we do in the U.S. And at the end of the day, the sport continues to grow at a very healthy pace. Now it's the challenges of MLS teams on a daily basis to keep trying to grab momentum and for the Dynamo to tap into the great Hispanic passion here. But these tournaments, this was amazing. This was a unique opportunity. We saw him become the all-time leading goal scorer for Argentina, Lionel Messi, last night.
That's Glenn Davis, host of Soccer Matters. And, Glenn, you're doing a special broadcast on Sunday before the final, where it will be Argentina versus TBA. Is that correct?
Yes. It's either Chile or Colombia. We're going to be out 2 hours prior to the Copa America Centenario final. It's the gorgeous Gale and Rice University. And we had a great time there last time. We're going to do it again, and we'll have some special guests in there, and we'll get set up for a great final and knock back a few beers. And I would like you to come out, Fred. We give you a second chance out there. I'm going to personally be your server.
We'll see. I'm not big on second chances, but I might come out there.
Maybe I'll have to beg. Well, AJ, do I have to beg him to get him to come out there?
That's probably the best way.
Yeah, you know how I am when I'm old and I get cranky when I get bad service.
No, you know what? I'm gonna let them know there. I think it was just a little bit of a rough time there. But the Gorgeous Gale is a good spot. It's open. There's a lot of beer flowing, and we'll make sure you get yours on this occasion. So AJ is gonna ride in with his Harley too, right?
I might.
I would love that.
As long as I don't have to watch that soccer match.
Oh, dude, come on. It's going to be the final. Well, I'll tell you what. You'll come to a soccer match with me, and I'll go to MMA, all right?
Okay, that might be a deal. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you guys for having me on.
All right. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters. Yeah, I never look at the little thing at the bottom of there of the call thing, and I guess the intern typed this in. Listener says, Bobby Orr is the greatest American hockey player ever. Bobby Orr is Canadian, okay? Any name you're going to throw out there is not American. That's why I brought that up. So what about this guy? He's Canadian probably, or Swedish, or Russian.
What about Vladimir Tarasenko?
Yeah, he's not American. So just, I don't understand people, you know. It's like, what about this guy? No. You know what you should do before you do that? Google.
That's probably a good, that's
just
a good
Google.
Tool. That's a good tool.
Yeah. Anyway. Because you know how it starts off with every one of these guys? So-and-so is a Canadian former professional ice hockey. Or so-and-so is an American. Same thing with the soccer guys. So just before you call in with something like that, just actually Google. Frobius does not approve of that Davis guy pronouncing Chile in a non-American way. That's how Glenn does things. He's all about those countries in their original thing. Yeah.
I like Chile. I like to say Chile instead of Chile. I like to say Chilean, like the Chilean bear.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say a Chilean bear. That'd be weird.
The head bears?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Do they shoot them like they do jaguars?
Maybe so. Brazil? I don't know. I hope not.
I don't know what happens with these things. Cowboy Bill, Mike Modano is the greatest American hockey. But go compare Modano to Patrick Kane and what he's done at 27. It's not close. Hate to break it to you. Let's get Lamont on real quick before we go to break. What's up, Lamont?
Hey, man, what's up? Got two What Are the Odds questions for you guys. Game of Thrones. Want to know, one, what are the chances that Danny gets back to Westeros before Arya? And two, what are the chances that Varys, and Littlefinger square off, the true players of Game of Thrones? Those are the two players of Game of Thrones, and I'm solid with that. And that's all I have, fellas.
I would say 99% chance Arya is back in Westeros before Dany. In fact, I'm not going to be shocked if she's in this episode and back in Westeros. That's not. I don't see Dany getting back there before next year. I don't see any chance. So I'll go Arya on that. As far as the other two, I think they're the players. I wouldn't be shocked if they're on the same team.
Yeah.
So Varys is one of my favorite characters.
I like him too.
He's, you know, that's a guy who has it figured out. There's all kinds of weird, yeah. People create these weird theories that go way too deep on who characters might be, like the Faceless Men. They're making up all these things about the Faceless Men. And then, of course, Arya's gone, so nobody cares about the Faceless Men anymore. And that Bran is really the guy running everything, and that he built the wall, and Bran is the old man was really Bran as an old man, and Bran caused that. Okay, just
Bran can't build the wall. He can't even walk.
Bran is not God. Let's just stop with that. But people go nuts with these things. Hey, guys. Want to take your lady or your guy on a great date? How about the Melting Pot? Take her to the Melting Pot, dip into the four-course fondue experience, and it brings you closer than any other date. This is why this is such a great place to take a date, because the way the booth is set up, it's very intimate. You're building your dinner together, and I took the wife. We had a great time. You know, you can get different stuff, but part of the four-course effect is that you are doing a couple things that you're using together. And so you get to talk about what you're cooking. You get to talk about all kinds of stuff. You actually get to have a conversation with each other. It's a lot of fun. If you're trying to impress somebody, it is a great, great way to do it, especially one of these early dates where, you know, you want to show them, hey, man, I'm a classy guy or I'm a classy girl. This is a great, great place to take them. The food's fantastic. And you know what? If maybe you wind up not liking her as much or liking him as much, they've got a great wine selection. They've got a great beer selection. You know, you can even take a bad date and make it work thanks to that. Try the Melting Pot. Westheimer, about a mile and a half west of the Galleria. terrific place, great service. Love the guys over there. They will take care of you. They will take care of the Blitzers. To make a reservation, give them a call, 713-332-5546, 713-332-5546, or go to meltingpot.com. But make those reservations and make it a night to remember at the Melting Pot.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. It is What Are the Odds Wednesday. So feel free to get your odds on things. You know what we have not talked about yet?
Yeah, there's so much we haven't talked about.
I wanted to get to your buddy J.J. Watt, though, and his Twitter beef last night with Pro Football Talk, which, well, let's be honest, Pro Football Talk is probably one of the most self-serving sites out there. Mike Florio is an arrogant ass, and so his whole site's kind of like that. But I think I'm going to side with Pro Football Talk. Did you see any of this?
I did. I'm also, well, I don't know who I side with because JJ's right. If you don't like it, just stay off my page.
There is that. But on the other hand,
you know what the best move would have been? Just to block Mike Florio.
Well, you could have done that. But here's the other thing. First off, JJ tweeted out a photo of him wearing a kit signed by all the players. Says, kit is a bit snug, but ready if called upon. USA versus Argentina. Okay, this is, you know, and Pro Football Talk basically, you know, made some comment about it. And this is where I don't side with JJ. He responds with, why does everyone want to talk about me? I'm just minding my own business and seeking no attention at all. Not true. You're sending out a picture of yourself wearing a kit saying, ready if called upon.
A super tight T-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. So,
plus, you called it a kit, which
right,
I'm which, against.
But that's what it is.
No, it's a shirt.
Well, whichever. But no, then he responds.
It's a shirt, maybe a jersey, but it should be just a shirt. It's a soccer shirt.
And he says, you know how Twitter works, right? If you don't want to see it, stay off my page. Take your saltiness elsewhere.
Salty.
Says, I do stay off your page. I follow your team's page. They retweeted it. That's how Twitter works, right? Well, at that point, yeah, I would have blocked them. But you are kind of, and then he does say, take your false humility elsewhere. Pro Football Talk does. That I kind of agree with. You are looking for attention. I know you're not allowed to say anything bad about JJ. But why else do you tweet something out like that?
Yeah.
Ready if called upon. Anyway.
That's my biggest complaint about JJ, the thirst. And
he's got a little Kardashian in him, man.
There's no denying it.
And, yeah, that's great. But, you know, the whole I'm just a small town guy, you know. You have taken social media and embraced it the same way the Kardashians have. So there is going to be backlash. And at some point, you know, maybe if you just weren't so overexposed on Twitter and Instagram and every freaking commercial that we see, maybe people wouldn't think you're out looking for attention all the time. That's all I'm saying. Love you as a player. Think you're fantastic. Really kind of tired of seeing your pictures. I don't follow him. I don't want to see that. Only reason I know about it's because it turned into a Twitter beef last night during the game, and then I flipped over and then Larry Brown Sports wrote about it.
Did you see that it's being reported today that J.J. Watt's got a new girlfriend?
Oh, really?
Plays for the Houston Dash.
Who is she?
Kelia Ojai, who also happens to be Brian Cushing's sister-in-law.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Brian Cushing's wife, Megan, it's her sister. So he's dating his teammate's sister-in-law, who happens to play for the Houston Dash. It's kind of hot.
That could end poorly.
Could end poorly. But yeah. I don't know. I feel like maybe when you do something like that, maybe you are a little more careful with it. You know what I mean? Like if you're dating family of a teammate, you're less likely to.
You would think you better take it a little more seriously,
right?
Hmm.
Yeah, she's a decent looking chick though.
Hmm. I'll have to check her out. I'm not familiar with her.
Well, I wasn't before today.
So, Schneid asked, "What's the point of having Twitter if you're not posting things about your life? People enjoy seeing his life, and I'm sure you do, but you also can't really, you can't really cry about people saying stuff if you're going to do that.
No,
that's all. And anyway, I'm not going to do any more of that because anything you say about JJ, people just get pissed off. You can't say anything negative about the guy, so."
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about 5-11 real quick, the 5-11 Tactical Store. The new store just opened up, and if you haven't been there, I don't know what you're waiting for. If you're an outdoorsman of any kind, this is the place to be. These guys make it's a tactical brand that specializes in outdoor gear from head to toe. They make a little bit of everything, and it's all built to survive in the harshest conditions. It's the kind of stuff that I wish I would have had when I was in the Army. The place is great. They've got weatherproof shirts, pants that you can wear every day with hidden pockets if you'd like to carry. They've got fitness gear, boots, bags, backpacks, gun cases, slings, holsters, knives. For you ladies, they even have 5-11 yoga pants. Stop by the new 5-11 Tactical Store, 5870 Westheimer Road. Check out what they've got going on. You're going to be amazed. They've got a laser shot simulator in the back that's fun for all ages, including 35-year-old men, I would know. Check out the new 5-11 Tactical Store today, 5870 Westheimer Road. It's Westheimer in Fountain View. Tell them AJ from ESPN 97.5 sent you.
This is The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.